Good morning. We'd like to call the January 19th, 2023, 10 a.m. post-council session to order. We are meeting at the Public Safety and Education Training Center located at 410 West, 9800 South on the third floor of the post-council chambers. I would like to welcome our newest member to post-council, Sheriff Paul Wimmer. Sheriff Wimmer, oh, there you are, Sheriff. How are you? He is with Tooele County. He is taking the place of Sheriff Rigby and is currently filling that role for us. Additionally, we would like to excuse Dr. Molly Sween and as a proxy, we have for Director Nelson, we have Travis Knorr. With that, we'll go ahead and hop into the minutes. I need an approval of the November 9th, 2022 minutes. Do I have a motion to approve?
So
moved.
Got a motion to approve from Spence Sosa. I got a second from Janetta Williams. Any further conversation or comment? Hearing none. Call for the vote. Is in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Motion passes. Before we move on, I'd just like to ask if we have any public comment on any of the agenda items that are listed. Let me clarify. So if it's on the agenda and you have a concern or would like to make public comment, we would just limit you to about 5 minutes if you'd like to take 5 minutes and talk about any of the agenda items. If you have anything in addition to that, we're going to talk about those issues in public comment as we proceed after we finish our disciplinary cases. Anyone have anything on the agenda that would like to speak?
Mr. Chairman, I have something that I would like to have added on the agenda. And that would be discussion about the post position.
Okay. What we'll do is we'll go ahead later on in the meeting, and I'll kind of outline what we can and cannot talk about. Does that make sense? Thank you, ma'am. With that, we'll go ahead and start. Ms. Moore, Lieutenant Moore, could you, and Lieutenant Kristen, could you please start with quarterly reports?
For the quarter of September 1st, to November 30th, 2022, investigations received 118 complaints. We opened 24 investigations. We did not have any administrative hearings. We closed 10 cases with no action. We did not receive any voluntary relinquishments. Applicant backgrounds, we did 176 basic training applications, 27 dispatcher applications, 29 waiver reactivation applications. And our current caseload is 91 open investigations, 82 active investigations, and then we hope to get our fourth investigator Monday. So he should start Monday. Any questions?
Congratulations on the new investigator.
Thank you.
Good morning. For our second quarter of fiscal year basic training, we had 7 basic courses between special function and law enforcement officer courses. Trained a total of 89 special function officers and 181 law enforcement officers. Average attrition rate through those courses was 4.91%. Total for the calendar year of 2022, we trained 341 cadets for the calendar year, which was 8% above our last record year of 2018 and 28% above 2021. For in-service, we had 39 in-service classes, and we graduated 829 officers from those courses and 32 dispatchers for a total of 616 hours of training total. Any questions on basic training? Thank you.
Thank you. Marcus? We'll now move into 2022-2023 quarter three curriculum update with Marcus Shockey.
So this will be quick, unlike last time where it was a little bit longer. I have four things really quick. Utah Post job task and performance analysis. So we're in the process of continuing conducting a job task analysis that will be defensible baseline for developing a competency-based curriculum. The process will include, we've been including focus groups, also agency and officer surveys to determine the competency required for a cadet that is completing our blocks, and to ensure that they, when they hit the FTO program, they're ready. We understand, they understand what they need to know, and that the FTOs can go right into it. We don't have any gaps, right, that the FTOs need to do. So we are continuing the process on that job task performance analysis. Fiscal year 2023, so from January to June, our curriculum changes. So for the new year, we implemented the changes that were approved by Post Council during the last few sessions. This includes the new TIMS course that was approved by the council, as well as the emergency medical response comprehensive block. So we added quite a bit in regards to our emergency response, emergency medical response information. Some other key courses were updated, including mental health. We're still working on our mental health blocks, but we've been working with social workers and with a few other groups like CIT Utah and CIT Metro to update our mental health courses. Our report writing course is a lot more comprehensive because we got feedback that our FTOs wanted to make sure that they were up to speed on that. Our officer wellness courses and resiliency courses, and our law courses. So that those have all been implemented and are in play. Assessment update. So John and I and the team have been working quite a bit on conducting research analysis and beta testing regarding our assessment program. So testing. We did a lot of beta testing in 2022 to identify the best way to proceed. And the assessment system was updated to provide an evidence-based system of determining the academic competency of every cadet. And so the evaluation of this program will continue in 2023. But we've shifted from just two benchmark exams for each of the blocks and shifted to three so that we understand that the cadets are actually learning through the process of each of the blocks. One additional note that I wanted to follow up on regarding the council's question from the last council meeting was in regards to the exposure to fentanyl and other dangerous drugs. So the topic was already covered in our recognizing and handling drugs and narcotics in the law enforcement program officer, in the officer program. An objective has been added to our drug recognition and familiarization in the special functions officer program. So they're getting in both of our blocks. And then we also further evaluated it and we added it to preventing exposure to toxic substances and diseases, which was a different course known as bloodborne pathogens. So we've, as per the suggestion by the council, we've added all that information in to make sure that we're up to speed on fentanyl and all those other drugs. So any questions or concerns?
Thank you, Marcus.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Next, we'll go ahead and move into disciplinary cases. Michael Gadd will be leading that.
Good morning, Council, and those of you who are visiting. My name is Michael Gadd. I'm an Assistant Attorney General. I represent the Division of Peace Officer Standards and Training, especially in these disciplinary matters. We have nine matters on the agenda for today. I have recused myself from five of the nine. I'm happy to welcome two of my colleagues, both Assistant Attorney General like me. The first, Rebecca Waldron. She's also my supervisor. She'll handle the matters for the dispatchers who are listed here. I also represent the Communications Bureau for the Department of Public Safety, and it became clear early on that I had a conflict in representation. And then second, I'll be joined by David Morris-Putzer. He's a colleague of mine who also represents the department. He is going to handle the disciplinary matter for Scott Clark. Scott and I worked together extensively in the past at several of the task forces here along the Wasatch Front. I respect him a great deal, and it became clear to me that I would not be able to represent the division in his matter.
Mr. Gadd,
yes,
just
sir.
Before we begin, also as a matter of recusal, just note that Travis Knorr will recuse himself on the first case. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. And let's move to that first case. Let's call the matter of Joshua Allred. Mr. Allred, if you're present. I see Mr. Allred and his counsel. I'll begin as they walk down. On December 2nd of 2020, Joshua Allred submitted a vehicle mileage report for a vehicle issued to him by APMP. On that report, Mr. Allred did not include mileage on holidays or days he didn't work. However, Allred's supervisor had seen a previous draft with miles on the days that Allred did not work, including holidays. The supervisor found Allred drove the vehicle on his days off and holidays, which violated APMP's policy. Mr. Allred was criminally charged with misuse of public property and falsifying a government record. During Garrity interviews, Mr. Allred admitted he violated department policy by driving the vehicle on the days when he wasn't working, and that his vehicle report was, in fact, not accurate. Mr. Allred was charged criminally. He pled guilty to the misuse of public property as a Class A misdemeanor, and the falsification count was dismissed as part of his plea agreement. At the time of the offense, Mr. Allred had served the Department of Corrections for 16 years. This is a Category B offense. The baseline is 36 months. The range is between 18 months and a revocation. Post is recommending a 36-month suspension. Mr. Allred was terminated from UDC on August 20th of 2021. We're here by way of a waiver. I'd be happy to answer any questions for the council. And seeing none, I'm also happy to turn it over to Mr. Allred and his counsel.
Counsel, my name is J.C. Jensen, attorney for Josh Allred. There is no dispute as to the facts of this matter. As counsel indicated, there was a waiver submitted. We would like to express our appreciation for the professionalism that Post displayed during the course of this investigation, as well as the ability to correspond with counsel. We did have a great dialogue there. With that, we are hoping Post counsel takes the recommendation of 36 months. And if you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Any question for counsel or Mr. Allred? Hearing none, I'll go ahead and call for a motion.
Move to approve Post recommendation for 36-month suspension.
I have a motion to approve Post recommendation from Sheriff Sparks and a second from Councilperson Stevens. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none, those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you.
Just as a point of clarification, I'm new enough at this that I want to make sure I'm on the same page with the council. Will those 36 months for his suspension start on the date of termination, or would the council prefer to start it on the day on which he went on administrative leave?
The date of official separation, meaning that he no longer had law enforcement powers.
Understood. Thank you very much.
And I'd like to clarify that is not the date of termination. That is the date he was put on administrative leave.
Correct.
The ability to exercise powers.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, counsel.
And then to clarify for the record, administrative leave took place April 6, 2021.
Duly noted. Thank you. I'll note for the record that Colonel Rappage will recuse himself on this next case.
Counsel? Good morning, Rebecca Waldron, Assistant Attorney General. Is Kaylee Baird here? Could you look, Coach? Kaylee Baird is a post-certified dispatcher with the Department of Public Safety and was administratively investigated for entering false information in a government record. And during the Garrity interview with Post, Baird admitted to falsifying a government record. Baird was not criminally prosecuted. The reason for that, she explained that the company had a reputation for not answering calls during certain hours throughout the week or the weekends. This is a Class D, Category D offense. The guideline baseline is 12 months. The guideline range is 3 to 30 months. Post recommends a 12-month. Ms. Baird is currently employed, and we're here today by way of a waiver. Are there any further questions?
Counsel, is there a letter that accompanies this?
There is a letter.
All right. Have you all had an opportunity to read that on counsel? Okay. Thank you. Any questions?
Any questions? Stacy, do you want to, I'm going to turn this over to Stacy. I'm sorry.
No, you're just fine. I just wanted to say that I accept full responsibility for my actions, and I apologize to the council and my department for being here. I can assure you that it won't happen again, and for the last almost 7 years, I have worked as a dispatcher at the Price Communication Center. I'm very thankful for the opportunity to help the public during some very trying circumstances. Serving the public has brought me some great joy, and I am proud to work as a dispatcher. I hope you give me the opportunity to continue my work as a dispatcher, and I deeply appreciate the letters written on my behalf by Colonel Ravage. I hope you will consider those letters in your deliberation, and thank you for considering my request and your service on the council.
Thank you. Any questions? Sheriff?
I'm Sheriff Curtis. My question is, because I'm also looking at the other sides of this, you got the letter and there's multiple dispatchers in this. Is this something that was handed down or instructions given to you to do from supervisors?
No, it was just based off of the observations from working for several years there.
Chief. Chad Self with Woods Cross. So was your intent to speed up the process to get the tow trucks out to the officers quicker?
That's correct.
That's the reason that you did, just to streamline the process, right?
Correct.
Is that correct? Okay. Thanks.
Chief Swanson.
Make a motion. Did anyone have a chance to read the letters?
Did you guys all have an opportunity to read the letters?
Yeah. Yes. Chief, with the motion, based on what I read in the letter, that there was no intent and nothing nefarious, I kind of liken this to some of the cases we've seen where officers have run registration plates for similar reasons. No intent, nothing nefarious, but it's still a fast being misdemeanor. So I would actually motion that we just do a letter of caution.
So I have a motion for a letter of caution.
Got a second? I got 2 seconds. I got Sheriff Sparks. Do I have any further conversation? Hearing none, I will call for the vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes.
Thank you.
Let's next call the matter of Mark Beal. Mr. Beal's attorney is coming forward. Moving off script, I have referred to this matter internally as the Gingerbread House of Horrors case because it's in a similar vein. So on April 11th of 2022, Mr. Beal was investigated by Post for the crime of criminal mischief. The investigation disclosed that on April 5th of 2022, Mr. Beal applied to work for the St. George Police Department. During an interview with the police department's background investigator, Mr. Beal disclosed that he had been involved in an argument with his wife in December of 2020. During the argument, Mr. Beal hit a gingerbread house, which caused it to fall to the ground and break apart. The gingerbread house belonged to his stepson, and it was made of graham crackers. There was no police involvement in the argument. During a Garrity interview with Post, Mr. Beal admitted to being involved in a verbal argument with his wife. He said he was angry and he did knock his stepson's gingerbread house off the counter. At the time of the offense, our records show that Mr. Beal was unemployed, retired, with 10 years of service here, and I looked to his counsel to clarify his years of service. As we talked this morning, it's not entirely clear to me. This is a Category E offense. The baseline is 6 months. The range is between a letter of caution and 18-month suspension. Post, of course, is recommending a letter of caution in this case. We're here by way of a waiver, and I welcome questions.
Alan Swanson-Layton, since he was not employed, who reported this to Post?
The background investigator. When he applied for a new job.
Gotcha.
No duty to report, but that's a practice for many agencies.
Any further questions for Mr. Beal? Sheriff.
Paul River, Tooele County. Were the graham crackers from your pantry?
So this is his attorney. And to answer that before I give Mr. Jones a chance, I looked for 7 different ways to try to keep this from coming before the council and was unsuccessful. But I fully appreciate the thought behind that question. Yeah. Other questions for me before I turn it over? Okay.
If they were mine, I would have already eaten them. It's complicated. This isn't really before the council. He purchased the graham crackers. They were technically his. It's a little bit muddy on whether this is validly criminal mischief. My client appreciates that Post was very understanding and has come in on the bottom of the baseline recommendation range. Really, there's no desire for him to dispute this, given that it's a letter of caution.
Any questions? Hearing none, I'll go ahead and call for a motion.
I'll recommend we take Post's recommendation of the letter of caution.
I have a recommendation from Sheriff Loomer for a letter of caution. I have a second from Jeanette Williams. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I will call for the vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Councilor.
The horror show should be ended.
I'm David Morse-Putzer with the Attorney General's Office representing the Department of Public Safety. I'd like to call the matter of John Scott Clark. Assuming Mr. Clark and his attorney present. This is a matter where Mr. Clark was stopped by a police officer while driving for multiple violations. Mr. Clark performed poorly on the SFST, submitted a breath sample, which indicated a result of 0.224 breath alcohol. Mr. Clark was driving an unmarked department vehicle issued to him and owned by Layton City Police Department. And in Garrity interviews, Mr. Clark admitting to driving after consuming several alcoholic beverages before he was stopped. Mr. Clark was an officer who served 12 years before with Layton City Police Department. He ultimately pled guilty to that criminal charge of driving under the influence of alcohol. I believe this was on March 21st, 2022 is when the event occurred. I believe 2 days later, on the 23rd, the case was screened with local city prosecutor and charges were filed, which again he pled guilty to. And a Garrity interview was conducted that same day, which he participated in, fully admitted the events that occurred, and ultimately resigned from his agency on April 4th, 2022. This is a Category D offense with a guideline range of between 3 and 30 months. The guideline baseline here is 12 months. However, Post is recommending a 24-month suspension. The reason for that are some aggravating circumstances, specifically that a 0.224 breath alcohol is fairly high in Post's experience, and that he was driving a department vehicle at the time, not a private vehicle. Are there any questions for me from the council before I turn matters over to Mr. Clark and his
counsel? Before you proceed, I just want to make sure that Chief Swanson has recused himself.
No, yes.
And that there also was a letter attached in this
file. Sorry.
Thank you.
There is a letter submitted on behalf of Layton City Police Department from Mr. Swanson.
Has everyone had an opportunity to review that letter? Yes? I believe so. Thank you. Go ahead and proceed.
My apologies. Were there questions before I turn the matter over to Mr. Clark? For me? All right.
Thank you.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Nathan Evershed. It's my privilege to represent John Scott Clark. What we're going to be asking, and I'll be telling you why, is we understand that there are some aggravating circumstances here and that there is a deviation upwards from the baseline. What we're hoping for is an 18-month suspension rather than 24. And the basis for that is the following. I wanted to let you know a little bit more about my client. He's 44, no criminal history. 2010 is when he began with Layton City Police Department. He has no discipline history in his work. He has had dozens of positive commendations. He was the Davis Metro Narcotic Strike Force Officer of the Year in 2016. He was promoted to sergeant and then sergeant over the strike force as well. He's just simply a great officer who just loves his job. Now, probably what you're all thinking is, well, what in the world happened, though, in this case? Well, essentially, he just was with some friends down in Las Vegas. They had to get to the airport early, and he was in the airport longer than he thought was going to be occurring, and he just was drinking too many beverages that day in the airport. So then he gets into Salt Lake City. He was stopped in his vehicle and then just owns up to everything. He owned up to it in the courtroom. He went through the 24/7 program, successfully completed it. His probation is pretty much over with everything that was required of him. And he was able to restructure his life. He's on a new path. He has a new plan. This was a big eye-opening moment in his life, and he's just now a much better person. You don't need to take my word for it. His chief is standing right behind him with a wonderful letter that was submitted for him. And what this good man would like to do is just get back to law enforcement. He knows that this isn't a low offense kind of BAC, that there are some aggravating circumstances, and that it would be somewhat absurd to say, well, 12 months is the baseline. He knows that there needs to be an upward deviation. But what we're hoping for is 18 months, considering everything in the case, rather than 24 months. And with that, I'd be more than happy to have him share a few words. Thank you.
Any questions for Counselor Mr. Clark?
I have a quick question. So he was in his department-issued vehicle, unmarked vehicle. Did he drive that to the airport on official business? Or I'm confused as far as why he was in that vehicle specifically.
It was his vehicle to drive, and he had the ability to go to the airport in that vehicle, and it was in the parking lot when he got in, when he landed.
That was within policy as yes. far as that component. It's just that he was also drinking.
Right.
Okay. Thank you.
I just have three brief things to bring up. First, I accept full responsibility. And make no excuses for my actions on that day. I understand the gravity of what I did. And secondly, I'd like to apologize first to the state of Utah, who entrusted me with peace officer duties that I violated, to this council, to my law enforcement family, all the officers that serve honorably, my family at Layton, the department of Layton City, and then my own personal family, all of whom I've embarrassed through my actions, and I apologize for that. Lastly, I'd just like to say that I'm thankful for the opportunity to return to law enforcement at some point. I believe it is my calling in life. I understand that I violated a trust. That will never happen again in the future. I just ask that I'm able to return as quickly as possible. And that being said, I understand that whatever the council rules today, I deserve, and it will be a just ruling. So I accept everything based on taking responsibility for the actions on that day. And I truly apologize to everybody in this room and the people that entrusted me with my responsibilities.
Any questions for Mr. Clark? Sheriff Wimmer.
Sheriff Wimmer, Tooele County. My question going into this immediately was, where were your weapons? The airport kind of convolutes that a little bit because it's not always the easiest thing to fly with them, but where's your sidearm or your patrol rifle at the time of this event?
So the vehicle was a narcotic vehicle issued to me by the strike force. When I'd go to the airport, I lock all my weapons at my house in a safe, just because I don't want my vehicle being broken into at the airport and the firearm stolen. Secondarily, anytime I would plan to have alcohol, I would never bring a weapon with me in any capacity. That's where those were.
So I think it's fair to say, even though this was a law enforcement vehicle, there's no insignia of law enforcement. There's no red and blue lights there. There's no weapons in the vehicle. It just happened to be the vehicle that he was given by the strike force.
Any further questions? Hearing none, I will call for a motion.
Mr. Chair, I'll make a motion that we change the time limit to 18 months for John Clark. Looking at the totality of the circumstance, I think he's learned a hard lesson, and that's my motion, 18-month suspension.
Have a motion from Chief Silk for an 18-month suspension. Do I have a second? I have a second from Janetta Williams. Any further conversation? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Aye. Motion passes. Open, sir. Troy, for the record,
there is an proposal from Mayor Walker. Thank you. Motion passes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Council.
Counsel.
for the record, on the next one, also show that Colonel Rappage will also recuse himself on this case.
Are you Kelly? Okay. Kelly Colunga is a post-certified dispatcher, and she was investigated by her agency for falsification of a government record. The investigation disclosed that on February 2, 2021, Colunga documented that the local towing company did not answer the telephone and she skipped the towing company. Colunga never attempted to contact the towing company. Colunga falsified the towing record maintained by the dispatch center by documenting that she had contacted the towing company and they did not answer. There were no criminal charges filed. During a Garrity interviews with her agency and Post, Colunga said that the towing company had a reputation for not answering the telephone after hours or on weekends. Colunga did not deny intentionally skipping the towing company, but she just does not remember doing it. Colunga said she knew that the tow rotation record needed to be accurate because it was a government record. This is a Category D offense. The guideline baseline is 12 months. The guideline range is 3 to 30 months. And Post recommends 12 months. And we're here by way of the waiver. And also attached to this file is the letter from Colonel Rappage. Are there any questions before I turn it over to Kelly? Yes.
Go ahead, sir. Were you able to get everyone off the street faster by skipping them? So, in fact, some of what you did was in the interest of efficiency and keeping people safe.
Yes, correct.
Okay. That's all I got.
Any further questions? Yes.
Maybe it's not for our dispatcher, but maybe in general, was consideration given by higher authorities that hire these dispatching companies to maybe look into the reasons that the companies are failing to respond in a quicker fashion for the safety of the public?
I can speak from personal experience on that in working in both, with Summit County and in remote locations as well. Oftentimes, there are individuals on the rotation that are non-responsive. Of course, there is criteria on the rotation that they are supposed to respond quickly. It's very difficult at times to have those individuals removed. My understanding in this situation is that this company worked during a kind of a specific time frame. Please correct me if I'm wrong. And after hours, there was a tendency for them not to answer the phone based on what the letter revealed. So that is always, Ms. Liu, a conversation that agencies have with these tow companies, trying to make sure that they're following the standard. And there's a lot of frustration. Oftentimes, officers are stuck on the side of a highway or a roadway, middle of the night, in snowy conditions that are very unsafe. And certainly, it's tough for dispatchers because they have to make immediate decisions to be effective. And I feel that that's what the case was here.
Yes.
Go ahead, sir.
Is this a state contract that we're talking about? Are they contracted by the state?
Can you speak to that? So, the rotation, and yeah, there's a contractual obligation to that. The chief is right. The companies, there's times when they can be removed. At the same time, also in very remote rural parts of the state, there's a limited number of tow companies too. So there's a motive to try to work with the tow companies and have them be successful while balancing everything that I think Chief Carpenter captured it really, really well.
Any further comments?
I'll just add one brief note, also in response to the question. Part of the concern with respect to removing companies off of tow rotation has to do with the percentage of time that they respond to calls for service. So if a particular company has a pattern of practice of only responding during certain parts of the day, certain times of day, but that happens to make up a larger percentage of the calls, the company may be able to meet the contractual requirements to stay on the rotation, but not be potentially removable under the contract, which could contribute to, the frustration that other individuals have spoken about.
Council, can you identify yourself just for the record?
I apologize. I'm David Morris Putzer. I'm not on the council, but I'm part of the Council for the Department of Public Safety in other capacities. So I don't know if that was the case here. I can't speak to the specifics, but it's a general background to rotation issues.
Any further questions? Hearing none, I'll call for a motion. Those in favor?
So I've got a
motion.
Motion for a letter of caution.
I'm not sure if Kelly had a statement she wanted to.
Sorry.
You're
please
okay.
Go ahead. I apologize.
I just wanted to apologize to everyone that is here today in my department, and thank you all for taking everything into consideration that we've talked about. I really appreciate it, and assure you it won't happen again.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. That. So we have a
vice motion after comments.
Do you still stand by your motion?
I stand by my motion.
And please state your motion again.
For reduce it down to a letter of caution.
So we have a motion for a letter of caution. Do we have a second?
Second.
I've got a second for Director Knorr. Do I have any further conversation? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Motion passes. Thank you.
Any opposed?
What's that?
Any opposed?
Oh, sorry. Hearing none, motion passes. Thank you. Thanks, Julie.
Let's next call the matter of Eric Larson. Mr. Larson, if you're present, if you'd come forward. I see no one. The Weber County Sheriff's Office investigated Mr. Larson for engaging in sexual conduct while on duty after receiving a citizen complaint. During Garrity interviews with Weber County and later with Post, Mr. Larson admitted to having an extramarital affair with a woman, and specifically he admitted to engaging in sexual conduct with her while on duty, as that's defined in the Utah Administrative Rules. Mr. Larson said he met the woman on one occasion and he put his hands down her pants and grabbed her buttock while they were kissing in a parking lot after he got off work. Mr. Larson said he was still dressed in his uniform. He said he frequently met her on his way home from work while he was wearing his uniform, and they engaged in sexual conduct, including intercourse. But he thought he was not on duty because he was not being paid. Mr. Larson said there were likely more instances than the example he gave, but he couldn't remember specifically. At the time of the offense and the investigation, Mr. Larson had 10 years in law enforcement service, most recently with the Weber County Sheriff's Office. This is a Category B offense. The guideline baseline is 36-month suspension. The range is between 18 months and revocation. Post is recommending a 40-month suspension. Mr. Larson was terminated from his employment with Weber County. He fully separated on January 7th of 2021. We're here by way of a waiver, and I'd be happy to answer any questions I can.
Mr. Larson is not here or his counsel, is that correct, for the record?
Correct.
I see no one rising, just for the record. Thank you.
Can you clarify your recommendation?
Should be a 40. Oh, go ahead, sir.
This says 3.5, and you have 40. Math doesn't add up.
42 months.
Thank you, Rich. Good catch. Let's make it 42.
Thank you.
I went to law school. I didn't.
Not an engineer. That's not true.
Do a lot of math.
Right.
Mr. Gadd, why is there an upward deviation?
The frequency of the conduct. Even though we've only charged one offense, and that offense is the one that we could prove, as you know, sir, sometimes when you're looking at proof, you need to be able to tie it to a specific place and time, and that was the part of the offense I described where he had his hands down her pants. However, the ongoing nature of the conduct, his admission that it occurred frequently, repeatedly while in uniform, led, in my mind, to the upward deviation. And I think I better double check to make sure I'm not missing a fact.
That'd be great, yes.
Okay, we're on the same page.
Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Any questions for Mr. Gadd? Hearing none, I'll call for a motion.
I'll move to accept post recommendation of 42 months.
I have a motion to accept post recommendation for 42 months. Do I have a second? Second from Sheriff Curtis. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you.
And like before, I should put on the record that he went on administrative leave on December 8th of 2020, was terminated January 7th of the following year. if we're being consistent, I believe that suspension would start effective the date of administrative leave, which is December 8th of 2020.
Duly noted. December 8th, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
I see Sarah Manzanares is here. She's walking up. While she's walking up, Sarah is a post-certified dispatcher. She was investigated by her agency for falsification of a government record. The investigation disclosed that between the dates of January 24, 2021 and June 14, 2021, Manzanares documented six times that the local towing company did not answer the telephone and she skipped the towing company. Manzanares never attempted to contact the towing company. Manzanares falsified the towing record maintained by dispatch center by documenting that she had contacted the towing company and they did not answer. There were no criminal charges filed. During Garrity interviews with her agency and with Post, Manzanares said the towing company had a reputation for not answering the telephone after hours or on weekends. Manzanares admitted that she intentionally skipped the towing company and did not try to contact the towing company. Manzanares said she knew the tow rotation record needed to be accurate because it was a government record. This is a Category D offense. The guideline baseline is 12 months. The guideline range is 3 to 30 months, and Post recommends an 18-month suspension. And we are here by way of the waiver. Also attached to this file is the letter from Colonel Rappage.
I'll also add that Colonel Rappage has recused himself for the record. Thank you.
Okay. Are there any questions before turning it over to Ms. Manzanares? Yes.
And why you have three cases here that are the same? Why is this an upward deviation and the other two were not? So 1.5 years and the other were one-year recommendations.
I'm turning this over to the investigator.
Sergeant Dave Barnett with Post. The reason for the upward deviation, the actions were the same between the other two dispatchers and Ms. Manzanares. She had multiple occasions where she would document that she contacted the tow company, all while working a graveyard shift, where the other dispatchers only had the one occasion that it happened.
Understood. Thanks.
So, if I could interrupt as well, Alex Garcia, Deputy Director of Post. This is just in order to maintain consistency with what we've made as recommendations in the past when there's aggravators and mitigators. So that's why the upward deviation was there.
Thank you, Captain. Any further questions?
I just want to start with apologizing to the council and my department for being here. For the last 10 years, I've been a dispatcher for the Price Communications Center. Serving the public has brought me joy, and I hope you will give me the opportunity to continue my work as a dispatcher. I accept full responsibility for my actions, and I can assure you that it hasn't and won't happen again. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions? Sheriff.
Sorry to be the new guy that asks all the questions.
Thank you, Mike.
No. Could the number of count, because obviously you're being charged with six counts of this, could that be a result of the shift you pull? Like, if your shift is one that is after hours anyway versus the other two we've heard, if they worked a shift that was more congruent with the tow company schedule, could that be in part why you have more counts? Because perhaps you're working a graveyard shift, and so every time they pop up on rotation, you're technically obligated to make that call, and
yes,
knowing they're not going to answer or respond.
Yes, he's stated that he doesn't answer after hours at night and after 5 p.m., and I've been on graveyards for 9 of the 10 years I've been a dispatcher. So.
He meaning whom? Who stated that they would
the tow company.
The tow company.
Any other questions?
I like graveyards.
All right.
Make a motion.
Chief, go ahead.
I'd like to make a motion just to stay in line with the others based again on the intent, no ill intent, and nothing nefarious, that we issue a letter of caution.
I have a letter, a motion for a letter of caution from Chief Swanson. Got a second from Mayor Walker. Any further conversation? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes. Thank you, sir.
do know that it is Jen's fault. Is Alexandra Powell here?
For the record, I'm going to go ahead and have Colonel Rappage recuse himself again. So, Ms. Powell, are you here? Or is your counsel here?
No, I don't think so.
For the record, I see no one rising. Go ahead, counsel.
Thank you. Alexandra Powell, post-certified dispatcher, was administrative investigated for entering false information into a government record while she worked before the Department of Public Safety. During a Garrity interview with Post, Powell admitted to entering false information into the government record, and Powell was not criminally investigated. This was a Category D offense. The baseline is 12 months. The guideline range is 3 to 30 months, and Post recommends 12 months. Ms. Powell resigned her position as of September 25th, 2022, and we're here today by the way of a default. She did not respond to the notice of agency action. I don't think that Rappage has included her in the letter. I'm not sure.
Can you respond to that?
Okay. So, yeah, she's not currently an employee. Probably my own either correctness or incorrectness on procedure, so I address the ones that are currently employees.
Okay. I suggest we treat this
the same and go ahead with the process. If you'd like to... Any questions for counsel?
Are there any questions before we continue? Okay.
Same sailors, letter of caution.
John Crowley has made a motion for a letter of caution. Do I have a second?
Second.
Got a second from Spence Austin. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the motion. Those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you, counsel.
For our last disciplinary matter, let's call the case of Matthew Stevenson. Mr. Stevenson, if you're present, if you'd come forward. Mr. Stevenson is present. Mr. Stevenson was involved in an accident in which he ran over a parked scooter that subsequently caught on fire near a gas station. During the investigation into that accident, the investigating officer noticed the odor of an alcoholic beverage on Mr. Stevenson's breath. Mr. Stevenson admitted he drank alcohol before he drove, and he didn't remember the drive home until just before the accident. Mr. Stevenson showed signs of impairment during the field sobriety tests, and the intoxilizer test showed a result of 0.09 breath alcohol content. Mr. Stevenson was arrested and charged with DUI. He later pled guilty to an amended charge of impaired driving. In his Garrity interviews, Mr. Stevenson admitted that he drove after drinking alcohol at a bar. He thought at the time that he was sober enough to drive. This is a Category D offense. At the time of the offense, Mr. Stevenson was employed by UDC for 6 months. The baseline's 12 months suspension. The range is between 3 and 30 months. Post is recommending an 18-month suspension. As a result of the offense, Mr. Stevenson was terminated from UDC. That took place on March 9th of 2022. We're here by way of a default. And in terms of the upward recommendation, the aggravating circumstance here is the accident. I'd be happy to answer any questions I can.
Before we proceed, just for the record, Director Knorr will recuse himself. Thank you. Any questions for counsel?
So the termination date, was he paid up until that, until he was terminated? It says here in opposition to the others that it was paid paid administrative leave. So was he paid up until the termination date on the 3rd or on 3/9/22?
That's my understanding. I believe the administrative leave
took place on February 20th of 2022, and then he separated from the department on March 9th.
To be consistent, it would be the termination date, not the paid administrative leave.
Correct.
Date. Correct.
So I think there were
just the
I think the others were likely paid administrative leave as
sure.
well.
Were they?
The council previously has not gone by the amount of pay, but rather when they were last able to function as a peace officer.
Got it.
Okay. Thanks for clarification.
Thank you.
Sheriff Sparks. Any further questions? Hearing none, I'll call for a motion.
If we could hear from Mr. Stevens.
I would just like to apologize to my department and to everyone here in the state of Utah. I do take full responsibility for what happened that night, and I do hope I can get back into law enforcement as soon as possible. Thank you guys for your time. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you, sir. Any questions? Hearing none?
I move we accept the post recommendation for the 1.5-year suspension based on the aggravating factors in the case.
I have a motion from Councilperson Stevens to accept post council recommendations. The second from Sheriff Sparks. Any further conversations? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you.
We'll now move on to the Kane County discussion. Robert Van Dyke, are you here?
Members of the council, thanks for hearing our issue today. So I've submitted an application. I don't know how much you want me to go over that, or do you want me to provide all the background information?
How about a summary?
Sure.
Summarize.
Kane County is a border county. We work a lot with Coconino County and other police agencies in Arizona. And we have a over 50-year-old mutual aid agreement that's in place, and it's in dire need of being updated. During the process of updating this agreement, in my legal review and with all the other attorneys from the various police agencies, we noticed an issue. There's, I guess I would call it a discrepancy. So we first have in the code, Utah Code 53-2A-506 provides a vast amount of immunity when officers from another jurisdiction are providing emergency aid and assistance in our jurisdiction when they're requested to respond to an emergency. However, this conflicts with Utah Code 11-13-203.5. Which is under the Interlocal Cooperation Act. Under this act, which is, so the, under the Interlocal Cooperation Act, it's contemplating agreements between any agency, whether it's in-state or out-of-state. And as you know, like these, there's joint task force throughout the state that use this act to have agreements to cooperate. And what we believe is it's really contemplating situations where there's ongoing law enforcement services that are regular, where specific officers are assigned to specific duties that have a shift to do or something like that. But there is a requirement under this section that if there are out-of-state officers, they are required to apply to post for recognition. But even though it appears to be mostly for situations where there are ongoing regular services, the specific language of the statute appears to be much more broad than that. And so we have a situation where there are officers from out of state who may be called to provide quote unquote law enforcement services. Some of the examples that we have are when there are not other officers available to respond to like a domestic violence call where policy requires two officers to be present. That happens quite a bit in the Big Water jurisdiction where they have one marshal. Obviously, he's going to need aid from other agencies. And the closest agency there is Page, just across the border in Arizona. We believe that under the current version of the statute, in order to make sure that our officers and specifically the out-of-state officers are protected, we do need to follow through with the requirement to apply to post for recognition. We worked with your staff, and it doesn't appear that there is a formal process to apply for recognition from out-of-state officers, and so we're here to discuss that. Our preference would be that you issue some type of recognition of the out-of-state police agencies, where turnover is obviously going to be a regular thing, instead of requiring us to submit, you know, on like a monthly basis to come back to you and say, okay, here's the new officers from the out-of-state agencies, or for you to consider some type of approval of our mutual aid agreement. We're also willing to do a more longer-term look at the statute and working with you and the state legislature to clarify any issues that the statute might present.
Any questions for council?
West Wendover, Nevada, and Wendover, Utah deal, because they correspond the same way. They're on that border town, and I've been over there once before where they've had West Wendover, Nevada police come over and assist. Wouldn't it be the same thing down there?
That's through mutual aid as well.
Yeah, that'd be a mutual aid thing.
I appreciate you hearing this and you bringing it forward, because this is going to affect every border town in our state.
I know we had a statute on the books, I'm not sure where it is now, during the Olympics that allowed state reciprocity from outside other states, which allowed us this very thing to utilize law enforcement officers from outside the state of Utah. So I believe that, I don't know that that has been repealed.
This was enacted in 2003 requiring that each person from the other state agency be certified as a peace officer and apply to post council for recognition.
Is that for the...
This entire statute was enacted in 2003.
Okay.
So this kind of would have superseded anything that happened
in 2002. Yeah.
So, the Sheriff said, we also have that patrol has a mutual aid agreement with each of our bordering states. However, that mutual aid agreement does have requirements in it. They're working with the other agency that's involved. And at the request, the notifications that are in there, I don't know if that fits what they're trying to do, where one officer may simply be doing enforcement.
I guess the question would be whether we had
background issues or anything with any of those officers in those other states. And the same would hold true for officers operating in their state. They would have, obviously, the ability to review and make sure they were comfortable with our officers working in their state as well, I would think.
Question about the term recognition. Is there anything in code or administrative rule that defines what recognition by the post council means as opposed to certification?
Right. There's nothing that specifies what the process to obtain recognition of the council is. So it doesn't say that you have to review their entire curriculum or whether you have to just review their curriculum once and each officer once or anything like that. So I think the prudent thing would be to establish what the recognition would be on how this council wants to start the recognition process to review Arizona's peace officer requirements. And then the statute that's cited, the 1113.203.5, does require that each person from the agency be certified and apply to peace officers council. So I think it's got to be an individual person. And unfortunately, due to the way it's written, I think it is a one-off task that every time the roster does change, that each person apply and be recognized.
Just to clarify, this is separate from like the waiver process. It wouldn't be an application such as that. This just specifies in the statute that Mr. Jorgensen referenced that the individual has to be currently certified in their home state in order to qualify for this. So,
and in good standing.
It doesn't say in good standing. It says they need to be certified. I believe it may even say employed.
Just certified as a peace officer, not even employed.
Why can't this be handled between our post and that state's post versus individual departments? Like everyone in that state has to go through their post, right?
Like a state reciprocity?
Yes.
Well, a state post reciprocity.
Was that wrote up for them to have police powers in Utah?
That's for law enforcement.
Or is that just to assist? Because normally, like down in Kane County, when they have an incident that they're assisting, Kane County will send one officer to rural Utah, and that officer will come up and just assist Kane County, but Kane County is doing the police actions.
So under 53-2A, 506, mm-hmm. if it's an emergency, life, limb, or property they're covered. There's no requirement for this one. Where it's a law enforcement activity, which is, as Mr. Van Dyke kind of said, it's not really defined well. So on our reports say that's all other police activity other than responding to street emergencies. So if you're just doing a standby assist or you're helping out on a DV call that is required, I think that would fall under other law enforcement activity, and I think they would fall under this.
So it appears to be clear that they have to apply
independently, is my understanding. Yeah. Unless there's a legislative change, I think that's what we're stuck with. So I hope that.
Streamline that, though, as far as the agencies you have getting those names, or is there any way to streamline that as far as from at least agency to agency and submitting those names, or does it have to be the individual officers that are going through the specific process?
I think it could be streamlined once the initial groundwork is laid that this person has fully qualified as Arizona and given the chance for POST to review Arizona's criteria. And then POST can make a presentation to the council and say, they are substantially the same as ours. POST has no problem with the recognition for this interlocal agreement. Like Captain Garcia said, it's not full recognition. We're not giving them authority to become peace officers in this state, but we're allowing them to work under this agreement to conduct the assistance piece. So I think that after POST has a chance to look at it, they can present to council with the application of each person, and then we can say, yes, they are certified, they receive a certification, they are peace officer certified or special function certified or correction certified or whatever the Arizona equivalent is, and then we can quickly move through that.
So once we're done with that portion, it could be as easy as saying to these other agencies, give me a copy of their POST certification to give to the Utah POST, and that would suffice at that point.
Yeah, it could be as simple as this is a packet for Mr. Smith. He was certified on this day. This is the curriculum they used, and then just council can take action on that.
As a way, you mentioning streamlining it, POST already accepts Arizona POST's curriculum as a waiver curriculum, so they've had enough officers transfer into the state that we've already reviewed their curriculum and it meets POST standard. So there wouldn't be any necessarily review of curriculum. It would just be verifying whether or not they're certified, which I think may even be handled by just a letter from the department with a roster saying that this is a sworn affidavit that these are my current officers, they're currently certified, rather than each individual officer having to individually present information here. I don't know how you would want to keep that roster updated, if it would be something quarterly, if it would be something yearly that agency is responsible to furnish their current roster to POST. That would be more along the legal lines, but I don't see this as something that would be overly cumbersome to this body as far as the involvement or approval. There's just never been a process in place, and we have never been, to my knowledge, approached with a mutual aid agreement for acceptance.
I think also speaking for myself, also interested in making sure we're not making it overly cumbersome for King County and the other rural areas that are really reliant on these services. So I mean, it sounds like it could be something as easy as adding that to the MOU as far as what's the process by which they're going to submit this information to POST and how they're going to go through it, review it.
Right, it's required in the agreement that they shall require each person who's named in the agreement to apply to POST council for recognition.
I'm curious on how this came up, since this law's been around since 2003.
This is the first time that we've reviewed the mutual aid agreement to update it. That's why it came up. We did submit in our packet to the council all the names of the current officers from Arizona and their relevant agencies that are currently certified, if that's helpful.
So can we recognize these officers today, and then POST can
verify that they're certified in Arizona and then move forward, or do we have to wait 3 months and come back? Is my question.
I don't know that I would feel comfortable authorizing it at this point with the names being specifically on there without it being checked. I'm not discounting anybody's information or saying that it's not accurate, but I don't know when Mr. Van Dyke had this list compiled. It essentially could be, you know, not up to date at this point. So I don't know how you guys as a body would like to proceed.
I would suggest that at this time the council entertains what would be for recognition. The statute requires each person to apply. So I would suggest that one packet for each officer be submitted. That officer include a current letter of certification, including their training date, and any sort of Garrity-type discipline issues that should be made aware of prior to us recognizing their ability to function in Utah.
I'm wondering if that even needs to come before this body. I mean, as the waivers do not come before this body, and indeed individual certifications of Utah certification for individual officers doesn't come before this body. Would this need to come before the body, or is it something that the staff could handle with authority from the council?
Statute says council. So I don't think that the officers would have to appear. I think it could be a paper review of this is the application. This was deemed certified on this day. There are no disciplinary issues. He's in good standing. And then you'd have to move and pass on each individual.
So, Mr. Jorgensen, did we empower the director to handle that on behalf of the council? So we cut down on the amount of time, since we only meet every 2 or 3 months. That would seem to be very cumbersome for Kane County.
I don't see that would be prohibited to, because it just says to apply to the council. It doesn't say that.
Right. And we can empower the director to handle those. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have one quick question, Alex. Is this going to put extra work on your staff, because there's 20-some-odd names here, and we still have to do a background and all that, or is that going to be okay with you? You're shorthanded already.
It wouldn't be any sort of a background, simply stating it. If the department furnished proof of certification and verified that there were no Brady Giglio issues or Garrity issues, there wouldn't be any further work required of our staff other than just verifying that the proper paperwork was submitted.
Could we add the language of in good standing to clarify that those officers are in good standing?
I can tell you that I have checked. It is a recent list. These are all current officers. Okay. They're certified in good standing. But I understand your concerns.
Could we add this process into the MOU? Another paragraph? So as easy on Kane County as possible.
Yeah, the problem that I see is a situation where an officer gets certified as hired by, you know, Fredonia, which is 3 miles over the border in Arizona. They're assigned to a shift, and then somebody fails to make application to post. And then they're called out on a DV call, and suddenly they're not with the protection that they need to assist us. So we'll do whatever you ask of us to do, but the individual application and recognition, I don't think is a workable solution. In agreements where an out-of-state agency is providing ongoing regular services and specific officers are assigned to duty, I think it makes perfect sense that there should be a recognition of post under those circumstances. And so if there's not the ability to recognize an agency or something else, I think our preference would be to pursue a change in the statute that clarifies that difference, the difference between emergency aid without a specific emergency in place that doesn't need recognition, and then ongoing assigned duty that would need recognition from post. And so that's likely what we would pursue if we need individual recognition.
Go ahead, Chuck.
I'm not sure what the answer is, but we need to make this as streamlined as easy as possible, because if we burden it upon an individual officer from Fredonia or Big Water into Arizona, I think what we're going to do is we're just going to get agencies that are refusing to show up, mm-hmm. or, you know, individual officers that are refusing to show up, and I don't think that's a very good option here. And so I always think that we need to accept a letter from an authority in the Arizona township or city, and with a list of officers that we should be recognizing. And I think it is a good idea to have it as these are certified in under the state of Arizona, and they are in good standing. And I'm just, like I said, the legal powers of, I get it. There's a liability and concern issue in everything we do, but when you're out there screaming for help, liability goes out the window, and we need help now. And I don't care where it's coming from or what color the uniform is or what state they are coming from. And I just think till we can get legislative change, I think we need to have some sort of process that at least makes these neighboring agencies that may be out of our state comfortable coming into our state and helping us out. And like I said, that's my desire. That's what I'd like to see. I don't know what the best process to do it. And so I'm kind of just looking to you. What would make this work tomorrow night when King County deputies are tied up on their own issue, and you've got someone running amok with the machete through his household, and these guys have got to come across. And they're actually addressing that by themselves because King County's already tied up. You know, and I just want them comfortable coming across and defusing that situation.
And those situations would be covered now, right?
Yeah, well, that's correct. Yeah,
right.
That's a good point.
Emergency situations are covered.
Yeah, so them ones are.
Looking at a simple change in 506, would it simply be to add in, right now it represents emergency situations, and just simply add, or at the request of the order of the agency.
And even specifying
just,
that that
just clarifying, so if you ask for backup on a traffic stop, in the lawsuit, you're not trying to determine whether or not that's an emergency or not. It would be just simply at the request of the other agency. Probably be consistent with the intent of 506.
And then to make a change in the 203.5 that says that it's only required for ongoing assigned duties.
Or change 203.5 to say the agency instead of each person. The agencies that are signing the agreement must do this. Now, that would be, I think, probably the easiest change. Because the agencies can have the same requirements for all their officers.
And we need that form of a motion.
Well, that's that. Well, that we can't move to change statute.
Okay.
You can move to, you know, suggest it or something like that. But
do we have a recommendation to proceed?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'd make a recommendation that the department heads from these agencies in Arizona submit a letter to post with the names, the certification, any Brady Giglio issues, and any issues arising from
bounded
disciplinary actions to post, and that then we give the ability to the post deputy director to move forward with investigating and certifying those names in the state of Utah.
Second.
Let's give Julie a second.
Okay.
It was the second.
Just one possible change or recommended change to that motion. We use the word certification. I don't think we're talking about certification. We're talking about recognition.
But I think they have to show they're certified in Arizona, right, for Utah to accept it.
But it's Utah recognition, not Utah
correct.
Certification.
Right, Utah recognition, but certified in Arizona. Right. Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
No, I'm just trying to remember what all the motion is there. So.
And so the motion is delegating to post director. to sort through all that? And then does the council want a report back from Post saying that they've done it? Or
only if we need to.
I don't think so, yeah. I don't think we need that.
It could even be something as simple as us just adding it to the quarterly report as to if there were any agreements that were approved or any agencies had updated anything. We could simply add that to the agenda.
But you said we didn't even make a motion, so it's just a suggestion.
It's a suggestion.
I don't know what you call it.
Well, you made the motion for that procedure regarding the recognition.
Okay.
So do I have a second? Got a second for Mayor Walker. Any further conversation? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Hearing none, the motion passes. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time. So let me jump in real quickly.
I don't know, do any of you need to take a break before we proceed? I think we have Captain Garcia informed me that we had several individuals that wanted to speak with Post today as the Utah Open Meetings Act. So I don't know how many do we have here by show of hands that had comment they wanted to make? A lot, right? So we're probably going to have to limit the time of comment to 2 minutes. I think that'll take us, I think we have over 20 in here, so that'll take us 40 minutes. So I would limit that to 2 minutes. Let me just read a statement that I put together this morning when I learned of this. It says, as many of you know, we have been in the selection process for a new Post Council director for several months. Because of built-in checks and balances, the Post Council recommends a name to the Commissioner of DPS with the approval of the Governor. The Commissioner appoints the new director, the President of the Chiefs and Sheriff's Associations, the Commissioner of DPS, and myself have met on several occasions with the Governor's Chief of Staff and Legal Counsel to find the best path forward. The Governor's Chief of Staff currently is working with Governor Cox to determine the next best progressive steps forward. We do not have a selection process listed on our agenda today. Therefore, we will not be taking any formal action. However, we will allow public comment. So you're aware we cannot take any action, but we will listen to your comments. Sir.
Do you have a view online?
Okay.
Here present first, and then you
all. Okay, well, yeah, we'll start with those that are present. Do you have anybody that wants to make a motion to go into a break, or are we good to go? Ms. Stevens, would you say in a break?
Sure, I'm making a motion we take a 2 minute break.
Okay,
make
a motion for a 5 minute break.
5 minutes, sorry. Defer to Colonel Ravitch, 5 minutes.
So we will be in recess for 5 minutes, so we will start at 25 minutes after the hour.
Thank you. We'd like to call Post Council to order. For the record, it is 11:28. I also just needed to add, anyone that has not signed the roster, if they plan to speak, they need to make sure, who has our clipboard? Right back here in the corner, make sure that you sign that prior to speaking. And also, as a housekeeping item, do we have anyone that is here to speak on something other than the Post Council director position? Show of hands. Okay, hearing none, whoever would like to speak, please go ahead first and step up to the podium.
Mayor Walker had to excuse himself.
And for the record, Mayor Walker had to excuse himself because he had another meeting. Who's my timekeeper? Yeah, John Crowley will be my timekeeper. We're going to give each individual 2 minutes. We don't plan on commenting. We're just going to hear what your comments are, and we appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you. My name is Vaughn Hokinson. I'm a Wasatch County resident, and I have known Sheriff Rigby for the last 2 or 3 years since I moved into the county during the pandemic. During the pandemic, there were a lot of concerns in our community about law enforcement of state policy regarding mask mandates and other just administrative issues, and we had the opportunity, me and a few concerned citizens in our county, to interview Sheriff Rigby and ask him about how we should handle this situation as business owners and as community members. And I was, from that point, very, very impressed with Sheriff Rigby. His demeanor was one of a very competent professional who was sincere, cared deeply about the community, and wanted to listen to his respective constituents and serve us to the best of his ability. I also would like to say that I'm the oldest of 11. I have five younger brothers and five younger sisters. Two of my siblings have entered into interracial marriages, and so the situations that occurred during 2020 with George Floyd and the things that we've all witnessed as American citizens that have brought to our minds the intense need to have a light shined on situations that involve use of force had really impacted me personally, and my family members, my African brother-in-laws, were scared to leave the house at different times because of media coverage. And I'd like to say that after having reviewed all of the footage of the interview that was publicly transmitted on YouTube and then the original airing of the interview, I appreciate the media's role in making sure that there's accountability in law enforcement, and I'm a huge advocate of the First Amendment. I think it's very important that we have a transparent state when it comes to our administrative elected officials, and I think that Jared Rigby holds up well under that scrutiny, that he's a man of character, and that he should be provided the opportunity to take this position. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Next.
Hello. My name is Cheryl Carl. I just wanted to read a brief statement that I have and then to speak regarding the videos briefly, if I have the 2 minutes. My name is Cheryl Carl. My husband Greg and I and our four kids have lived in Wasatch County for 11 years. And I want to speak to regarding the accusations that have been made regarding Sheriff Rigby harassing or bullying an officer in 2021. The accusations are concerning to me because of the way that they were portrayed. It was only because of the article written by the Fox 13 News reporter in which a video was shown, cut, and spliced, and portrayed just a small part of the entire conversation between Sheriff Rigby and the officer. I know that has been released, the full one. I can speak to that in a minute. This is poor journalism, and it's very disconcerting. Sheriff Rigby has worked tirelessly for the citizens of Wasatch County for many years. I personally known him to be a compassionate and fair person when it comes to a wide variety of circumstances. He took the time to meet with parents of teen drivers in Midway to address our concerns about speeding tickets and in general how we could help our teens when and if they're approached by police officers. I'm sure not anyone would just do that for parents calling a sheriff. He also graciously met with over 100 citizens in early 2021 when we had concerns about COVID law, business rights, and a variety of questions in general. It was such a popular meeting that we asked him to come back in 2022, and he even brought treats. Sheriff Rigby was also instrumental in helping us write the verbiage for our county to become Second Amendment Sanctuary County. He worked with the county council and private citizens to get the ordinance passed, helping to bridge the gap between elected officials and everyday citizens. The sheriff and his team are well respected and loved in Wasatch County. I cannot say enough how much this man is loved.
Sorry,
and
10 seconds.
I believe that if Fox 13 really wanted to get an idea of who this man was, they would have interviewed private citizens in Wasatch County, and they did not do that. I think it would be a mistake to overlook them. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Next.
Good afternoon. My name is Ryan Hobbs, and I'm a resident of Wasatch County. I moved up to Wasatch County approximately 4 years ago from Arizona. I am retired law enforcement police officer in Arizona. In my time, I dealt with a lot of situations like this. And first off, thank you for everything that you do. Your job is a hard job. So I met Jared by sitting on a committee with the county council up there, and I was really intrigued being new and wanting to see how law enforcement kind of reacted and how they did things in areas up here. Jared is a truly ethical man who holds great integrity. He values his citizens, cares for his citizens, put his citizens, his department, anyone else above himself. With this situation, to me, I've looked at it, and it looks like basically
What Fox 13 is just doing is a character assassination on a very good man, someone that does not deserve this. And we live in a day and age where media can create stories, make stories, splice parts of stories to make it look a lot more worse than it is. When you look at the whole video in total, you see that Jared was doing nothing but the majority of coaching and counseling. Okay, he was asked by the city of Heber to conduct the investigation, but the vast majority of the interview that I saw, the full video, was coaching and counseling. Jared also showed concern with the officer's future, okay, by conducting this interview, all right, by giving advice. You know, I don't know where we can come to the conclusion of watching that as any threats being made due to the fact that the investigation with Chief Booth was done months prior to this investigation in this coaching and counseling session. Sheriff Rigby also doesn't supervise this employee, has no authority for that. I just ask you to really reconsider and think about all the positions that we have done and all the coaching and counseling that we as supervisors in law enforcement have even received and given, and think about that while you make your determination, and hopefully he goes through and he's appointed to be a director.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
My name is Celeste Johnson. I'm the mayor in Midway. We're the second largest town in Wasatch County, which is to say we're a very small town. We contract with the Sheriff's Department to do additional patrolling in our town, and I am here today just to speak to the fact for two things. One, all of my dealings with Sheriff Rigby have been extremely professional, and while we don't always see eye to eye, we have always been able to resolve our differences in a very professional and a very amicable manner. I would like to speak to the fact that I believe he was given this position on his merits and experience. And if that's the case, and if this has been withdrawn because of a news article that may or may not be accurate, I am disappointed. So I believe that if this body is looking at whether or not he's qualified to do this and is acting in part because of a news publication, then I think that there ought to be some very close scrutiny on that particular news publication. As an elected official, and many of you here, I'm sure, will start nodding, we have all dealt with inappropriate misinformation that has come out through the media, and I include Facebook in that. I think Facebook is inappropriate media, but it's very powerful. And we end up having to counter misinformation a lot. So I would hope that this group would look at the merits and the experience of this exemplary sheriff, in my opinion. I have had no dealings with him in terms of how he interacts with his subordinates, so I cannot speak to that. But I will tell you that we do value the work of the Sheriff's Department very much in our community, and hope that this group will take a very close look at the merits and experience. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mayor. Next.
I'm better scripted. My name is Doug Gray, and I'm a 20-year resident of Wasatch County. I moved to Utah in 1992 and accepted a position at the Utah Department of Corrections and attended Utah Post. I started starting in January of 1992. I worked as a law enforcement and correctional officer for 6 years and was a guest instructor at Post to teaching search and seizure. Although I loved law enforcement, I left to pursue another career that I could better financially support my family. Because of my law enforcement background, I have volunteered in my community in several capacities. For over 10 years, Jared Rigby, as undersheriff and as sheriff, has instigated and overseen many programs to benefit and improve the lives of the officers and employees of the Wasatch County Sheriff's Office. These programs have included emotional and relationship support for officers and their families, family holiday celebrations, and special recognition ceremonies to honor the dedication and sacrifices made in the line of duty by not only our county sheriffs, but all first responders in Wasatch County. I've had the privilege and honor of implementing these programs and seeing the lives of Wasatch County's first responders change for the better. I've worked closely with Sheriff Rigby as I have implemented his plans and ideas and have seen firsthand his compassion, love, and care for each of the individuals that work for him and directly and indirectly. I've also worked with many county events and have helped Sheriff Rigby plan and implement safety and security at those events. I've witnessed him in stressful situations and have always been impressed with his ability to maintain a calmness and treat everyone with respect. I stand with, although the thought of Jared Rigby leaving his position at County Sheriff saddens me, it absolutely breaks my heart even more that anyone would ever question his integrity.
Thank you. Appreciate your time. Next.
My name is Scott Lewis. I'm a 10-year resident of Wasatch County, and I recently had opportunity to work with Sheriff Rigby as a member of the community and spend many, many days, many hours with him and watch him and his demeanor. And it's very rare that I'll meet somebody who instantly wins my admiration. And Sheriff Rigby was one of those people. And the reason that he did it wasn't because of his the way he carried himself or his demeanor or, you know, wasn't this impressive guy out of the gate when you first meet him, although he is, it was the way that he treats people that impressed me most. I've seen him thoughtfully consider the ramifications of the decisions we were trying to make and then carefully measure it against federal law and against state law. And I've seen him come out the other side with well-reasoned recommendations that seek reconciliation without compromising his core values. And he made it clear to us from the very beginning that he had a set of core values and principles that guided everything that he did and that he would not deviate from those. And that set the ground and the foundation for what we as a community work together on. He is one of the good guys. I'm really sad to see him go. But Wasatch County's loss truly is Utah's gain. And I know that he can do tremendous good in this position and impact many lives for the better. And I just have to say, really briefly, every election, my wife and I have the same conversation. Where are the good guys? Can't we do better? And I don't blame people for not stepping up in public service.
Thank you. Next.
My name is Eric Rowland. I've lived in Wasatch County for 20 years. I stand here currently a commissioner for the Wasatch County Council. I'm a vice chair for the Wasatch GOP and a former Heber City Council member. I only say that because in each one of those capacities, I've had an opportunity to work with Sheriff Rigby. But I'm conflicted. When I found out that he was going to be presented as a candidate for this post, I was genuinely saddened because we were losing or about to lose an exceptional individual in Wasatch County. But at the same time, realizing what the post would gain, I could not think of a better person to be placed in a position of leadership for law enforcement. To say that he's an exceptional man is an understatement. I have seen him personally, I've witnessed him personally deal with the community. I've seen him work with his subordinates. And I cannot find a disparaging word for this man. He is incredible. While it's going to be sad to see him go if he is appointed, as has been stated earlier, you couldn't find a more qualified person. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Post Council, for listening to giving us a few short minutes. My name is Mike Johnston. I am on the Heber City Council currently and have been on for 3 years, so I know a lot about what went on, the incidents that even came to Sheriff Rigby. I want to say one thing, first of all, like everyone else has stated, this man, Jared Rigby, is an amazing individual. You maybe know that. He is highly respected, highly honored, and I dare say beloved by our community. We are going to be very sad that he will not be our sheriff for the rest of his career. Having stated that, this man knows the law, he knows justice and order, but that is coupled with just an understanding and the core value that he has of kindness and mercy and friendship to all that he comes in contact with. I have known him for 20 years in all of his law enforcement duties. I'll also speak to city council. Being on the city council, we went through a really rough 2020 when our chief of police was accused of excessive use of force. And that went through, and that was through the George Floyd incident. And so we sent that out. The Utah DPS looked at that, fully exonerated our chief. And then the Juab County Attorney's Office also was asked by our attorney's office to review that case, fully exonerated. And it still has continued to not die. That man was taken through the ringer. We asked Sheriff Rigby then, after all this was done and everything was finished, to look into our department. And that was our request to him. And so to do an investigation of what was the turmoil in our police department. And that was why he was doing this, these interviews with our police officers. Sheriff Rigby doesn't have the ability, or the value to bully or intimidate anybody. That is not his nature. And you can look at the video, the 90-minute video of Officer McTaggart just as well as I can. So I won't comment on that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next.
Name's Todd Beagley, Wasatch County resident for 14 years. My wife has been a resident her whole life, her family for over 100 years. And as you know that, when you're a small town community like that, you know everybody, right? And everybody knows everybody else. And I'm here today because I saw the blip on Facebook. And it saddened me because we tear down good individuals. We set them up and then tear them down. I know this man. I serve as a chairman of Swiss Days, and I'm sure some of you probably had either your wives or family members go to that event. I've worked with him. I've been on that executive committee for 8 years. I've worked with him and his deputies over that time. Prior to this, I watched the full videos. I watched the clipped videos. I did my own investigation with his officers that I swore to them would never be told out of his lips, and I won't tell Jared who I talked to. But all of them stood behind him 100%. And I stand behind him 100%. I've worked with him in church functions. I've worked with him in Swiss Days. I've worked with him on city functions. I know the man. And so do the residents here, and that's why we're here today. I didn't hear about this until 8 o'clock this morning. I took time off of work to come down here because that's important. He will bring honor to this position. He will honor all of you by serving in this position. I hope he's considered for that. Because like everyone stated before, it is our loss. I don't want him to go. If I was being selfish, I'd say no, leave him here with us. But I agree. If it was my most precious things or my kids, and I would be proud to have my kids under his tutelage and taken care of by him. I sleep at night because I know him and his deputies have my back when I'm asleep.
That's it. Thank you. Appreciate it. Next.
I'm Mary Williams. You should have all, hopefully, if you did your due diligence, get a letter from me. I did send letters in. I own a business in Wasatch County. I'm a therapist, and I'm a Heber City crossing guard for 13 years. And I worked with the emergency response teams. Therefore, I've had a lot of interaction over the 19 years that I've lived there with Jared Rigby. And not just Jared, but most of the law officers, including both Summit County and Park City and Utah Highway Patrol and State Parks. And so I know a lot of them as personal friends. And I have definitely have nothing but good things to say about Jared Rigby. I'm actually upset with you, Adam, that you set up a false narrative in all of your interviews. I've watched all 92 minutes of that interview with Jared Rigby, and there was nothing, nothing. If you're a good judge of character and if you can see something, you can see there was nothing wrong in what he did. I'm also in all those years because I am friends with so many officers and have worked with so many officers over the years. I also have been interviewed by Jared Rigby in an internal affairs investigation years ago when he was the undersheriff. He did absolutely nothing wrong in that interview. And in having been in that situation, a person, when they're pulled in, is nervous. It's just natural, right? You're naturally nervous when you get pulled in for an internal affairs investigation. But it was totally fine. I mean, he was just so straight-arrowed, a good cop. That's one of the things I said in my letter. He has always been known as a good cop. And even by officers that it didn't work out so well for him, they still to this day have to say things like that. I actually contacted 5 officers that are no longer in our area that have retired, and they still have nothing but good things to say about Jared. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Jeremy Jones. I'm appearing on behalf of Utah FOP. I represent officers in the administrative context, in administrative investigations all the time. The FOP has watched this video. I have watched this video. There are major concerning questions about the conduct depicted on this video, and that conduct cannot be ignored when it comes to the appointment to post director. I have seen investigators put pressure on officers, both direct and indirect, over all of my career. And looking at that video, it's mentioned multiple times that it's an IA, and then at the end, all of a sudden, it isn't. That's a minimum a mixed message. In that video, there is statements made to the officer to look to his career, that he's going to miss out on assignments, all of the subtle things the agency heads and chiefs can take away without formally disciplining an officer. And in exchange for that, the officer is asked to accept a narrative which is in question. The FOP is concerned about whether or not there's a conflict of interest here. I'm not saying there's a personal bias. I'm not saying there's a conflict of interest. I'm saying that based on the publicly available reporting, there are legitimate questions about whether there is a conflict of interest. The same goes for whether there was undue pressure advanced or exploited during this interview, and whether somebody who would do that would be an appropriate appointment to this body, particularly as post director. The question that FOP wants this body to consider is that, again, based on the publicly available reporting, much of this seems to have been news to this body prior to it sending this name up for approval. If that is the case, FOP believes that this process should be started over anew in a transparent fashion where all the stakeholders can have a voice and where a transparent decision can be made on all the information. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, I'm Matt Bocanegra, a long-term resident of Heber City, 23 years, and I just wanted to say I've known Jared for many of those years, and he is an outstanding person and individual. Me and my family are close to him and his family, and what Fox 13 News has reported is absolutely twisted and wrong and false. There's no doubt. The scriptures say, "Ye shall know them by their fruits." Well, that's a good man. I'll tell you that right now. And there's a lot of people here that agree with me on that. Now, I wasn't there during that interview, and I don't know everything about law, but why would Jared threaten someone who he's not even over that person? Doesn't make sense. I think it's evil trying to mess with them, because evil and good fight. I've worked shoulder to shoulder with Jared in the community, and he's a good man. He respects people. He loves people. And I think if the committee here decides not to go with him, it's your huge loss. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, my name is Brad Caldwell, and I think we should all open tow companies in Price. I think that would be prudent. But I'm here because, you know, I got to know Jared, last summer. I've known of him for a long time, but I got to know him on a project last summer that we worked on together. Phenomenal individual, utmost integrity. As I've watched this whole process, a couple of things come to my mind. One is I think there's somebody else within the state that wants the job, and so they're stirring the pot. I don't know if it's FOP. I don't know who it is, but there's somebody else that wants this job, and so they're stirring the pot. We could not ask for a better person to be in charge of Post than Jared Rigby. You know, as been said before, he had no hiring authority over this gentleman. The only reason he was even chatting with him was to give him advice. Was the advice stern? Yeah. But every time I yell at my son in the shower in the morning saying, get to school, it's very stern. But he knows that I love him, and he knows that that's good advice. And I think Sheriff Rigby was doing the exact same thing. It's critical to understand the timeline. The matter had already been settled, and he was just giving this gentleman advice, career advice, which was good advice. I spent many, many years at Apple, and I was terminated by Steve Jobs. And so when I look back on that, was that right for me to be terminated? In my opinion, no. Were there extenuating circumstances? Absolutely. But I still love my former employer. I still love the place where I was. He had no position or authority over the officer, so how could he be trying to inappropriately influence him? Jared's a good man. We love him in Heber. The best thing you could do for Heber would be to reject him and leave him with us. The best thing you can do for the state is move him forward and help him take over this position where he can teach all the officers to do great things. I'm out of time.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
My name is Dave Edmonds. I'm actually a business owner here in Salt Lake County, but I live in Wasatch County. If you tell a lie big enough and then you repeat that lie over and over again, people tend to believe it. The loathsome Joseph Goebbels actually said that. And this case is pathetic. I was in law enforcement for many, many years, and watching what the media has done on this is nothing short of deplorable in many, many ways. As has been stated ad nauseum today, Jared Rigby is an exceptional man. He worked for me as a deputy sheriff when I was the sheriff of Summit County, worked for me for many years, and the man does his job and does it well. But more than that, I used to teach interview and interrogation to peace officers in the state, and that was not an interrogation. That was a counseling session. And that is really not in dispute. What the FOP just got up and said is despicable to me as well, from the standpoint that they do not speak on behalf of all of law enforcement. They are a bargaining unit, and frankly, they do not speak on behalf of the peace officers in this state. And I take exception to the fact that they would get up and actually say that, or at least present that. At the end of the day, there is not a better man on this planet to take the job of post director than Jared Rigby, and I leave that with you.
Thank you.
I would like to speak on my own behalf, but I'm here to read a statement. I work for the National Institute for Jail Operations. Tate McCotter, who is out of state right now, has written a statement that he wanted me to read. We wish to be on record to our support of Sheriff Jared Rigby in his appointment as Utah Post Director. As the sitting sheriff of Wasatch County and individually, we are a national organization and have worked closely with law enforcement agencies across the United States for over a decade, purposely selecting Utah and Wasatch County as our headquarters. We have been able to interact with Jared Rigby directly and personally in a variety of professional ways and environments. This includes engagements in public and private settings. His strong background in law enforcement, consistent professionalism, caring for individuals and communities, and honesty has produced more positive results than can ever be numbered. His unique abilities and demeanor bring people of diverse opinions and backgrounds together, uniting them in common goals. From the time we have known him as an undersheriff until the present, Sheriff Rigby has always exemplified positivity and is respected in circles near and far for his moral compass and ethics. He is a true public servant, and we are proud to be associated with him without reservations or apologies. We based this statement on years of personal interaction rather than unfortunate partial sound bites made to sell stories or agendas without context or merit. While the Wasatch community would certainly miss his leadership, the entire state would benefit immensely from his appointment as post director. It would be extremely difficult to find someone that equals Jared Rigby's skills, abilities, knowledge, and character. As a side note, Tate said, I was thinking of something that General Powell told my father, Lane McCotter, when he asked General Powell if he would someday run for president. Powell said, I don't ever want to put my family through that ordeal. No kidding. I watched my dad get slandered nonstop during his time as public servant.
Time?
It is ridiculous. No time. Wonder thank some you. Of the best
people. Appreciate your comments. I apologize.
Your name and who was that on behalf?
Tate McCotter on behalf of National Institute for Jail Operations. My name is Darla Gray.
I just want to say one thing on process. Post Council does not make this appointment. This appointment is a recommendation from the Commissioner of DPS to the Governor. The Governor will in turn make that decision, just so you're aware. Post Council simply is allowing this opportunity so your voices can be heard. Thank you.
Chairman Carpenter, Vice Chair Austin, thank you, fellow Post members, for giving us this opportunity. It's not something you have to do. We appreciate that. I'm here to speak on behalf of Sheriff Rigby, but not necessarily to beat up Adam, as some would like to do, probably. I've known Sheriff Rigby for almost 10 years. I come to you as a citizen, but I'm also serve as a volunteer firefighter EMT in Summit and Wasatch counties for the last nearly 14 years. It's given me an opportunity to interact with law enforcement. I will never forget my very first time I met Sheriff Rigby. He was on the hiring board for EMTs, and I still remember the question you asked me. And it was a very good question. It was insightful, and it wasn't rude. It wasn't overbearing. Jared is of impeccable character. I remember Jared because I've been around a lot of people. I've never been around anybody with the character that he has, the integrity that he has, the humility that he has, and the value that he has. It's been stated here many, many times. I'm torn. I literally told my wife, this is the first time when he run for sheriff, I don't even have to think twice. This is an automatic. I know Jared's the guy. But for Post, he deserves to be here. I do not, however, disagree with the process of making sure. You guys are the keeper of the gate. And the governor. You need to make sure you don't put somebody in there that's going to cause problems. And I assure you, with my name, you're not doing that. If you put Sheriff Rigby in there, you will not regret it. You will be very pleased, and he will serve the state of Utah better probably than nearly any other candidate ever.
Time, sir.
Thank you. And Adam.
Oh, could you get your name as well?
Oh, sorry. Dennis Gunn.
Thank you.
Wasatch County. Adam, you've done the best you have with the information you have to present to the
thank
people,
you,
so I do not attack you. Sorry.
My name is Brian Rouser. I come in here to speak in support of Jared Rigby. I noticed that the first time I've had a timekeeper that's armed, so I take note of that. I've worked with Jared for a long time. I'm a former deputy of Wasatch County. I'm now a member of their search and rescue team. I was there when Jared was hired on at the sheriff's office. I was there when he resigned to go get his law degree. And one of the things I put in a letter that I sent to you is when he resigned and went to Fargo, North Dakota, his two lieutenants and a fellow deputy loaded a trailer up and did the 35-hour drive to drive his stuff up to North Dakota. They did that because of the type of person that Jared is, and Post would be so lucky to have him. I'd like to say that the FOP certainly does not represent the views of most law enforcement, in my opinion. In this case, I agree with the second the other comments that have been made that, you know, once this investigation was being done, the investigation was over, and now it becomes important for everybody to accept the results of that investigation. And a counseling session to help an officer learn to accept those results so that his career can be furthered is a kind thing to do. And that was a good deed that Jared did. And in this world, we have that saying that no good deed goes unpunished. I hope that doesn't apply to Jared Rigby. He did a favor for Heber City, and that should not harm his career. Jared is of the utmost integrity. I've never seen this man do anything less than just be exemplary. He's an example that I look up to. He's an example that I would love for my kids to follow. And I think we would be so fortunate to have him on as the post director. And it is a massive loss for Wasatch County. I'm a massive supporter of the free press, but it's got to be a responsible free press. And I think some correction should be made in this regard. Anyway, thank you for your time. And I hope you are able to recommend Jared Rigby for this post.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, my name is Jim Gagan. I'm a resident of Wasatch County. Moved my family and grandchildren out here in 2017. Had business for about 30 years in Provo. When I chose Wasatch County, one of the things that was concerning to me, because I came from a very high crime area, I was outside the south side of Chicago, worked with a lot of law enforcement for 30 years. I wrote software for the DOJ, the FBI, Grit Task Force, the HIDTA in that area. They do a tough job. The counseling that he gave was something that any one of the officers I know would have said the same thing. Said, listen, I, you know, as far as a career path goes, there's some things that you know, may not be offered to you. More is you would with any political career and said, hey, if you get on that counselor, you get on this, it's going to move you in a direction. He had no authority over this guy, so he couldn't impact or even take any of the things he's discussing. He was just giving him straight advice. That's the thing I liked about him when I moved out here. He was a straight shooter. He was a guy that met with his citizens and his constituency whenever they asked. And that doesn't happen. I've been to a lot of different counties I've lived in my life, and sheriffs don't take a real interest. They've got their political career, and they've got their cadre of people that they're working with, and you hope you bet on the right horse. But Jared was unanimously, I mean, I don't know anybody that didn't vote for Jared in our town or our county. I live in Charleston, so we rely on the sheriffs. Every interaction I've ever had with the sheriff's department has been professional. They've been responsive. Jared's even called to check up on us with one of the issues that we had in that area. And I think that, you know, he's an attorney, so he could go do something else and make more money, but I think he wants to serve the community. And I think what you need is somebody that is going to be that guy who's going to stand up and do the right thing, irregardless or irrespective of what other public opinion is.
Thank you.
My name's Kurt Hoffman, and I'm a lifetime resident. If we're tacking up the tally, I'm a lifetime resident of Wasatch County, and I've known Jared ever since he set foot in the county. He's one of those move-ins, and Jared's not a local. Some of you rural guys don't know about move-ins. But I can tell you, I first knew Jared as a teammate, and he was a great one. I've known him professionally for the last 15 years, known his family, his kids. As everyone said, he is exemplary. There is not a better man for the job. And this is to say this has been a hasty appointment. This has been a long recruitment process. DPS is the highest background investigating agency in the state. And to say that, oh, this is the clickbait journalism all of a sudden popped up and it's some magic new information is laughable. And it's a disrespect to honorable people like Jared that are simply working for the public good. I guess the upside is, I guess, if the governor's office and DPS hadn't heard about it, at least they get their news from better news sources. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else in the room? Sir.
My name is Neil Mahoney, and I am not a resident of Wasatch County. I'm a resident of Salt Lake County, but I have a huge bias in favor of Sheriff Jared Rigby. He is my brother-in-law, and I have known him for 25 years. This meeting where we had some cases, that post evaluated, I observed that there were lots of policies and procedures in place to ensure that these public safety employees or former employees were treated fairly and with due diligence, even for perhaps small issues that have to do with calling or not calling a tow truck company. I appreciate the value of the media in our world of making sure that there is accountability in government decisions. I appreciate the process that has been gone through in the recommendation for Jared Rigby, and if there needs to be more process, let it be, but let it be fair. Some stories are just stories and fizzle under further scrutiny. I invite the Commissioner Anderson and Governor Cox to do the right thing, make the right choice. And I thank you for my time.
Thank you, sir. Anyone else in the room that would like to make comment before we go to the Zoom? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and move forward.
Okay, the first one is highlighted.
Hello, can you hear me okay?
Yes, we got you. Can you put your camera on, please?
Oh, yes. Can you see me okay now?
And please state your name as well.
Sure. My name is Ilana Raskind. I am here today to express my strong concerns regarding Sheriff Rigby's proposed appointment as post director. Like many others, I was deeply troubled by the video footage of Sheriff Rigby intimidating a fellow officer for reporting misconduct. As many of us are aware, public confidence in the police is at an all-time low. Thankfully, Utah has actually been taking really important steps to address this and strengthen community police relations by passing several important pieces of legislation, including last year's State Bill 126, which gives POST, as you all know, a really important role to play in establishing and reviewing standards for officer intervention and the reporting of police misconduct. These steps really signify to the community that Utah is serious about police transparency and accountability, and that the officers who intervene and report misconduct will be supported and protected. So with that, I would like to say that moving forward with Sheriff Rigby's appointment will undermine a lot of this important progress that has been made and tarnish the reputation of POST. I'd pose the question to all of you, how is the public supposed to trust that POST will fulfill its mission to promote and strengthen faith and confidence in law enforcement if it knowingly moves forward with the appointment of a director who is on video intimidating officers for reporting misconduct? I'd urge you to rescind Sheriff Rigby's appointment and move forward with a candidate who will truly uphold the principles of integrity, honesty, and trust. And I appreciate you letting us all take the time to comment today.
Thank you, ma'am. Next. Just please state your name and make sure you're on video.
Hi, am I up?
Yes, ma'am.
Sorry, I didn't mean to make you wait. Thank you for your time today. My name is Kara Cope. I'm a longtime resident of Salt Lake County. I am calling in today to strongly urge you to not appoint Jared Rigby head of POST. I am married to a police officer who also agrees, has emailed very many other officers that have emailed. And it's interesting today that so many police officers that have been speaking are not police officers anymore. They're no longer with the department, or they've retired or moved on to other jobs. So they don't really hold a stake in that as much as people who are the cops that are still working for the departments. So being head of POST is a big, big deal. We don't need somebody who's so controversial. We've seen for ourselves the 90-minute interview and how that went. We're on this call. It's really nice that the whole community has come together to support him. But the problem being there is that it sounds like a testimony meeting. We're quoting Nazis, and I just don't think he's the right person for the job. If it creates this big of a problem, perhaps you should look at other people. I want to thank you for your time and your support, and I hope the governor's listening. Thank you so much, and have the kind of day you deserve.
Thank you, ma'am. Next.
Hello, my name is Yvonne Banner. I am a long-term resident of Salt Lake County. I am wanting to say that as a domestic violence survivor, watching the full 94-minute video was very hard, but I paid attention. Officer Rigby was clearly gaslighting the officer he was interviewing and telling him what he should believe and think, and that he is wrong to think otherwise. He definitely was using tactics to sway the perception of that individual and threatening his job. That was very clear in watching that full video. What I see is someone who is trying to protect the job of someone he goes to church with, because I understand that he did go to church with... Oh, sorry, I didn't realize I didn't have my video started. But I understood he went to church with him. And I would just lastly like to say that an officer who behaves this way is a poor reflection of our state. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. Just hold your comments, please.
Okay, that's it?
That's it. All right, thank you. We appreciate everyone's public comment. We appreciate you exercising your First Amendment today. Freedom of speech, that's very important. That's what our country is about, and I thank you for your time. With that, we will go ahead and move forward to schedule our next meeting. I actually do not know where this process is going yet. I'm waiting to hear from the Chief of Staff. Chief of Staff will, in turn, will share that with the Commissioner, and I would assume the Commissioner will then share that with myself. So I thank you for your time, and stay tuned. With that, we'll go ahead and schedule our next post-council meeting, and then we'll be in adjournment. Please, Janetta, go ahead.
Yes, I just got a question. So if there's any comments or any concerns of post-council members, then would we address those to you?
So I think if you mean if you would like to have that conversation, council, we could have that conversation now.
If you're allowed a conversation on that.
There is an additional comment.
Oh, there is. Sorry, there's one more.
It looks like there is a remaining comment from Ray.
Is it a written comment, sir?
I'm not reading what you were saying. So you did not.
Can you hear me?
Do we have someone else that would like to speak? Is that what they're saying? Okay, we'll go back in and listen to that, the last individual. Thank you, sir. We'll go ahead and advance you, and then you're welcome to speak. Please turn your camera on and identify yourself.
Okay, my camera is on.
Thank you. How are you?
Hi. I'm great. How are you?
Great. Thank you.
My name is Ray Duckworth. I'm the operating chairperson for Black Lives Matter Utah. Respectfully, I would like to note that if we're going to bring quotes to show our capability of being humane, let's not quote Nazi politicians who advocated for anti-Semitism. Dear Wasatch, keep Jared Rigby. Utah deserves better. Post deserves better. Dear Post-Selection Committee, we are disappointed in the selection process that led up to Jared Rigby. We are here to support the actions Post is taking to ensure the safety of the public. We are here to support the actions of Post to hold law enforcement agents accountable. And in Rigby's case, it was abuse of power to gain promotion. We deserve better. And please watch the 90-minute video. And respectfully, that's all I have to say at this time.
Thank you, ma'am. For letting me comment. Appreciate it. Anything, anyone else? Do we have any more comments? Hearing none, we will now go back into... Oh, Janetta, please, Ms. Williams.
Oh, okay. No, I didn't know for sure how, you know, what the process, if we have concerns as council members.
I think it would be appropriate to express those now.
Okay. I do have some concerns, and I appreciate everybody that's come and spoke, you know, but I do have the same concerns that FOP had, and I know there's been some negative comments about FOP, but the Fraternal Order of Police, and as the, you know, community advocate, some of the concerns that we've had is the more or less kind of a threatening comments that Sheriff Rigby had made to this individual, and then the monies that was paid out as well to the two individuals that had complained about the process
So are you talking about
through Heber City? Are you talking about the officers, that there was some type of
There was some officers that had been, not compensated. There were some officers that had been paid roughly, I think it was around $7,800 each, because they had come forth and made the complaint about the excessive force. And
so post-council can't speak to any actions of the city council? That's a portion that is very specific to Heber City Council?
Yes. But no, we're not speaking to on that. I'm just saying part of that process.
We're just making us aware of that.
Yes, okay. Was in the video. So some of the concerns that I have is that, you know, we want to make sure that this position of post-director is an extremely important position. And it's a position that we cannot allow people's friends, relatives, or anybody like that to come and say, well, yes, he's a good man. And we're not saying that he's not a good man, but we're just saying that there has to be some type of protocol, and there has to be some type of guidance when we're looking at who's going to be the best person in this position as the director of POST.
Probably the best answer I can give.
Let me clarify process here. So the process for, as you're aware, because you participated on the selection committee, all of the candidates were reviewed. All applications were accepted. The president of the Sheriff's Association, the president of the Chief's Association, myself, the colonel was invited on that. He didn't sit in on the initial screening of those applications. We went through and ranked and rated each of those candidates. Those candidates were then submitted to the commissioner. There was conversation about the applications. The selection was made to interview, I believe it was 12 or 14. I may be wrong on that number. I don't recall. We were advised by the commissioner to select, I believe it was seven of us to represent post council. There was an offer. We had made a recommendation, and I'm not going to get into that, of our top candidate. I think it was the top candidate had a large lead in that. That was shared with the commissioner. That score was shared with the commissioner. The commissioner at that point made an appointment. That had to be recalled. If legal wants to jump in here, there was a misstep in that process in the sense that we were required to have a quorum. Obviously, we followed the process we were given. That was recalled, that position, or that offer, if you will. It was rescinded. At that point, we were asked to meet together as a full post-council. Every post-councilman had an opportunity to make comment on those resumes and applications of the top three, because we didn't want to start the process. There was each one of these individuals were selected and were moved forward. They were selected as the top three candidates were scored. At that point, everyone on this council had an opportunity to weigh in and push their needs forward or who they wanted. As you recall, originally there was a motion, and I may be wrong on this, to move two names forward and in the process. And that died based on not enough support. And understand, I am not a voting member of this board. So that position didn't move forward. There was a substitute motion to move three names forward. That motion also failed. And then there was a motion to move one name forward, and that motion passed. So with that motion, following Robert's rules, we moved that one name forward to the commissioner for the governor to be able to make that approval. That happened. The governor did approve that name. The information moved forward. There was a background that was done. The offer was made prior to the background, so there was some issues there that we were dealing with. So then they reopened the investigation, and that's where we're at right now. So that's to summarize how we ended up where we are. And I'd welcome anybody to comment.
Just reaffirm that that's what we did as a council. We came together, we put forth that name that we all agreed on, We didn't all agree because there was some that may have voted no, but the majority ruled, and we put forth Sheriff Rigby's name. And now it kind of takes it out of our hands into the commissioner's and the governor's hand, whether they redo the process or they go forward with the name that was put forth to them. So, but I just want to reiterate, Sheriff Rigby came out on top. He scored higher in the interview process, and that's the name that we put forward to the Commissioner of Public Safety.
Thank you. Further comments? Please, Ms. Liu.
I think I'd just like to reiterate one word, and that word is transparency. I think it's important for this board and any decisions that are made moving forward that we are transparent with what we do, with the evidence or reasons we are provided. I just feel like that was a misstep on the transparency piece.
Can you please speak to what you're talking about? I'm just unclear.
So. Yeah, I can't. I was the one that voted, it was 10-1. I voted, I was the one vote, not because I don't like Sheriff Rigby, I don't know him. But I think it's important that when people get hired at this level or status, coming from servicing in public education for 35 years and working with HR, I think it's important that transparency is looked into in terms of every candidate that is brought forth to the committee to make decisions.
Were you given an opportunity to comment on the three candidates?
Was I?
Yes.
I was.
So I guess I'm not understanding the transparency piece. If you could please clarify. I'm just not clear on where you're going.
The transparency piece for me was what we were not aware of.
Which was?
The video that was shown. And I understand and I appreciate the emotions here with the community. And I applaud you, the community, for coming forward. But I think the information was important and should have been shared. My guess, I don't know, is a few people knew about the video. I did not.
Let me talk about investigative
process. I think it's important to clarify. The role of this council is not to do the background investigation on these individuals. So what happens, anybody that is eligible to sit before us, we make the assumption on this council that that person has already been vetted through DPS. That there's been a full and thorough background investigation. Otherwise, they would not be eligible to be sitting in this room or be considered for that position. Our role is not to make a determination or Monday morning quarterback, right or wrong, or the past history of any officer. That is the sole responsibility of DPS and the commissioner's designee, whether that's be SBI or whoever takes that case on. Our role is simplistically to find the best candidate, do an honest, open, transparent review, and move a name forward to the commissioner. And that's what we did. That, in my view. Sir.
I have a clarification to that. So I think I would agree with all of that, except it's not the process normally, I don't think it ever has been, to do a background investigation on every applicant that applies for a position. The role of the post counsel was to vet the was to score, look at professional competency, look at experience, look at applicability to the job. The background investigation comes in the actual hiring process, which was done based on the recommendation of post-counsel. And so as it sits now, that process is still ongoing. And we're waiting for the decision on that. To say that it was DPS's responsibility to do a background investigation on every applicant prior to putting them in post-counsel.
Sorry, mistake. I meant
on the finalists.
At the hiring process, yes, when someone is being offered a job, that's when that background investigation takes place.
I hope that clarifies.
Thank you. It's fair to say we may not have known of the video when we put the name forward. I certainly didn't, and I don't think anybody on the council did, or they would have brought it up.
I guess the other question is this: is that the role of Post to review the video? I think the role of Post is to rely on those investigators' full background investigation and make a recommendation whether that person move forward for our consideration. We are made up of academics, we all have different, some, we have attorneys, we have doctors, we have everyone on here. Our role is not investigative, even though some of us have that ability. That is not our role. That's not what we're here for today. Our role is to find that best applicant, to protect the integrity of post, and make sure that when we see something wrong, then we need to call it out. And I appreciate the fact that we have dissenting or different views. That's part of what makes post council great. Any further questions? With that, I'll go ahead and look to schedule our next meeting, and hopefully we'll have a resolution and an answer, and we can move forward. Any recommendations for our next meeting?
Other than open meetings training.
Which month are we looking at, Chair?
Second quarter is 3 through 4, 5, 6, sorry.
So, what is it?
March. How many cases are in the queue? Do we need to...
A lot.
It depends on how fast we get caught up on Monday.
We have a lot on queue. We just have to catch up.
Yes, Mr. Chairman.
After the first week, because that's the end of the session. We have a recommendation
March
in
16th.
March. What's that?
March 16th.
I second that.
Or 14th.
I go 16th.
16th. We have one for March 16th at 10 a.m., correct?
That works.
Thank you. We'll be in German.